Rebel Yell Podcast on the Trib Live High School Sports Network. We are wrapping up here. This thing right here, WPIL Championships, District 7. That's the WPIL. And what a way to put a capper on the WPIL Baseball Championships. We'll be later on in this podcast taking a look at 4A, 5A, 6A, and including 4A, 5A consolations as we work our way to the PIAA playoffs, which begin Monday. But our focus here is on the player of the week in the WPIAL and the 6A championship hero, David Shields, the outstanding pitcher for Mount Lebanon. No hits. The North Allegheny Tigers, Blue Devils, back-to-back championships. David, appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on a tremendous, tremendous evening.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
I mean, we're not even 24 hours removed when we're taping this podcast from the no-hitter. Has it really hit you yet? Or, you know, you seemed to be trying to enjoy the moment with your teammates on the field last night, but maybe after you got home or today in school, whatever, did it really hit you like, holy crap, I did something that not a whole lot of players have done, very few have done in WPL history?
Yeah, so I can tell you right after the game on the field, it definitely did not hit. Like, no idea, just no emotion towards it whatsoever, but later on in the night, you know, the team gets talking about it. You know, we all went to hang out at Matt Delvo's house, and we all started talking about it. And then it just kind of hits you. It's just like, geez, that really happened. Even if just the win, you're like, we won again. It's just something like that. But, yeah, I mean, later on in the night, it did kind of kick in a little bit. It was pretty sweet.
We'll talk about the team accomplishment because this has been a very unique season for the Blue Devils. We'll talk about that coming up. But let's focus on you because it's all about you, right? Come on.
Team smart.
Very good. Well played. Well played. So have you received any texts or anything that really stood out? I'm sure your phone was blowing up, but have you received any either in person or telephone calls or texts from somebody that it meant a lot to hear from?
You know, my phone definitely was going pretty crazy after the game. Just, you know, all my friends, family, and stuff like that, all with the congratulations and stuff. I don't know about one person, I guess you could say, but I mean, every single one of those is always great to see, you know. Sure. Just the people that just reach out to you, it makes you feel good inside. But I mean, my phone definitely was blowing up pretty much after the game.
It was an incredible story in that it's 21 years after Chris Koutsavalis in the same uniform through a no-hitter. I had the call in that game at PNC Park. He no-hit the Blackhawk Cougars to win a WPIAL championship. And here you come almost it might have even been 21 years to the date that you no-hit North Allegheny. Now, Chris works with you guys, doesn't he?
Yeah, so in our facility that we usually hit in the winter at, or sometimes like when it's raining, like we'll go in there for practice. He's always given lessons and stuff. And some of our guys on the team, they go and see him for lessons. But, yeah, he's usually hanging around. So, yeah, we know him pretty well.
The one moment, and again, I don't know if it was the fifth inning or sixth inning. I wasn't on the game. But I was, you know, I had done the two previous games, so I was watching. And I kept saying, I don't want to be here all night. It's been a long day. I'm going to get out of here as soon as North Allegheny gets a hit. Well, I was there till the end.
Thankfully.
Yeah. It was, yeah, you're right. I get a chance to see history. So, again, the fifth, sixth inning, little fly ball, pop fly. It wasn't a little flare. It was a legit pop-up. Shallow center field. You got your center fielder coming in, shortstop, second baseman coming together. They all converge, second baseman appears to get a glove on it. And then the wait, at least for us, not necessarily for you, but we were all waiting to see what the official score would say. Mm-hmm. Brett Hamels, the second baseman who got a glove on it. And, I'm pretty good. I'm a big baseball guy. And so I'm pretty good at determining hits or errors. That was a tough one. But the rule, the error on the scoreboard came up, and the Mount Lebanon side of the stadium, which was the third base side, just a big loud roar of approval. I've never heard an error get, a standing ovation, but you told me before we started here that you didn't know any of that going on.
No idea. No, once the ball landed, that's all I was thinking about for the rest of the inning was if it was a hit or not. And, get the last guy out walking off the field, and I go to one of our coaches, Pat Van, and I'm like, was that a hit? Was that a hit or not? And I started asking everybody, and they're like, no, dude, look at the scoreboard. And I'm like, whew. And it felt pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in the major leagues, when somebody's going deep into a game with a no hitter, everyone sort of gets away, stays out of, a lot of times you'll see TV shots of the guy just sitting by himself with nobody near him, because you don't want to mess up any mojo by distracting him or whatever. Was that the case with you guys, or was it just business as usual and regular chit chat?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, it didn't really feel like a no hitter pitch in that game. It just felt like I was pitching good, because usually like a no hitter, I feel like, or something along those lines, even like a perfect game, I feel like you're just, could be striking out everybody or something along those lines. It didn't really feel like that. I was getting a lot of ground balls, and I struck out a good bit, like 8 or 9 or something like that. It didn't quite feel like that the whole way. It just kind of kicked in probably around like the 5th or 6th inning, where it's like, geez, I don't have any hits right now. Like, let's try to keep this going. You know what I mean? But like, no, it was pretty much business as usual. Everybody's still talking, everybody, normal stuff like that. It didn't feel like extra intense, I guess you could say, until probably about the 7th inning, where I realized what's at stake.
What was the mindset of the team coming in? You guys are the defending champs. In most cases, the defending champs are the favorites coming in, but North Allegheny was the higher seed. They were a number 2 seed. You guys had already disposed of the number 1 seed, Pine Richland, in the semifinals. Was compared to a year ago, going into the big showdown against Upper St. Clair, were things a little more loose, or were you guys feeling a little pressure?
So we actually, I was talking this about, or to some of our coaches about this, and I think we ultimately came to the conclusion that I forget what we said. I think it was a little bit like less intense, I guess you could say, because last year, people kind of expected us to dominate and win and stuff like that. And
plus the rivalry, yeah.
Right, the rivalry, everything like that. And it just felt like we had this weight on our shoulders to live up to expectation, I guess you could say. And this year, we started 0-8. So it was just kind of like an underdog story from the beginning, where nobody expects us to win. Nobody expects us to get any far. And, it wasn't as intense, I guess you say. Obviously, we wanted to win. We wanted to prove ourselves. But when nobody expects you to win, you got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So we just came out every day and, gave it everything we had. And luckily, it turned out. And it felt pretty good to show everybody who we were at the end of the season.
David Shields, junior pitcher, no-hitter in the championship game against North Allegheny, kind enough to join us. I want you to settle things here. We had your outstanding coach, Pat McCloskey, the Energizer Bunny, on the podcast a few weeks ago, because you guys were the team of the week. And we were talking about the slow start, right, the 0-8 start. And he mentioned, we were so close. There were so many games we probably should have won. And it was just a hit here or there. And, he was going on and on that the record was maybe a little deceiving, that you guys were playing good ball, but the results just weren't there. I see my good friend, Coach Capone, Danny Capone, down on the field, one of Pat's assistants. And I asked him, we were talking before I saw you last night, and I said, he goes, "You believe we were 0-8? I said, "Yeah, what about that?" And he said, "We stunk. We were terrible. We were horrible." So, I mean, you got one coach saying that you guys were that close to having a better record, and then another coach saying you guys were terrible. What is it, somewhere in the middle? What's the truth of that 0-8 start?
I actually think that's not in the middle. It's both. I would say for half the game, we were good. We would start off good. We would get the lead and everything, and just couldn't hang on the second half. Like, just it's just be one of those things where you would do well, then just fall apart and just couldn't hang on. You know what I mean? So right. We always knew, like, you could ask anybody on the team, we always knew that we could do great things with this team, and we always had faith. Like, not one person on the team had doubts. It was just, you know, we just were playing well and just couldn't hang on. You know, it's just those costly errors that you can make. Like, we got some new infielders this year and just got to get used to things, you know. And then we ended up, in my opinion, we ended up having probably the best defense in the Whipfield. So it was just kind of getting used to things like that.
You guys earned it in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The three teams that tied for the top spot in Section 1, Seneca Valley, Pine Richland, North Allegheny, you beat them all on your way to this WPIAL championship run. Very impressive indeed. Was there a turning point? Obviously, that first win helps a lot. But was there a turning point where, you know, okay, not only are we starting to win, but, you know, sky's the limit with this team. There's no reason why we can't defend our title.
Yeah, so our coach Witte, our assistant coach, he always says, no matter throughout the year, like, especially like in the 0-8 streak there, he would always say, like, people are going to be thinking, you know, they're just going to roll over you guys and, you know, Blue Devils are out, stuff like that. But he would always say, like, don't let them get in. Don't let them get in, because they're gonna show you what's up. And we always just kept that attitude. And especially, like, in our first win of the playoffs, I would say, against Pine, things really started to kick up a notch, because we realized that we, like, actually had a shot at this thing. Like, you can say what you want throughout the regular season. Like, the games, they're important, but they're not playoff energy, you know. And whenever you win a playoff game, things really start to heat up and you get excited.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Don't tell any coaches that, but that's a very good point you make. So you win it last year as a sophomore, beating your arch rivals. You win it this year against the Darth Vader of the WPIAL, North Allegheny. Everybody loves to get a crack at the Tigers for how good that program has and continues to be. Mm-hmm. Was it sweet? Take the no-hitter out of the equation, because that obviously adds the cherry on top. But was one sweeter than the other? You beat the rivals one year, but then you come back from an 0-8 start and sort of redemption the following year.
Yeah, so both seasons obviously have their – you know, uniqueness, and it's a tough question. It really is. Last year, I had some of the most fun I've ever had in my life. This year was more of a struggle trying to claw back and, you know, show people what you're made of. So, I mean, last year, you know, just being from Lebo, you know, you just live for the USC games. So last year, I mean, the place was packed. It was so rowdy, and to go out in style against USC, it felt really good. No, yeah. I mean, I could have threw a perfect game and had three home runs yesterday. But I mean, just to beat USC, I mean, that always feels good as a guy coming from Mount Lebanon.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. I can relate. So does it stink? The fact that you lost Upper St. Clair as a regular season rival and potential postseason rival. You lost Bethel Park before that. I mean, does it sort of the whole 5A, 6A dynamic and losing rivalries like that, as a player, does that bother you a little bit?
100%, 100%. And I'm sure you can ask anybody else, like, especially now 6A is getting so small.
Yeah.
That it's like, it's obviously still fun to compete and stuff, but like you look at these teams in 5A and they could easily be up here playing with us.
Oh, no doubt.
Like to me, I just don't see the point in it. Like, no. I feel like, you know, I like those, you know, 14 team brackets and stuff like that. And we had what, like, how many was in ours? Like six?
Six. Four? Was it six?
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's still fun, but it's also kind of like, I don't know. It's just not as intense, not as like much of a grind, but obviously it's still difficult. I'm just saying, like, those teams in 5A, I feel like they could easily be up here and be very competitive. And
well, Shaler Bethel Park played the night before you guys, and
right,
they don't take a backseat to anybody. 100%. Would you be in favor of, not that this is being discussed, it has in the past, but with 6A shrinking everywhere, not only in baseball, but, mm-hmm. you know, basketball, football, it's down to like five teams or whatever. It's ridiculous. But would you be in favor of like a merge between 5A and 6A, at least in the regular season, and then 6A teams go their separate way for the postseason, 5A? It would still not make 6A postseason bigger. But to me, it would add a lot to the regular season. And I think the 5A teams are saying they don't want to compete because of fear of the playoffs. But if you keep them separated in the playoffs, then to me, it's sort of a win-win.
Yeah, I feel like that could definitely work. To be honest, as a player, I just kind of want to play these teams. Like, you always hear about, you know, South Fayette, they got all these great players, you know.
Yeah.
Playing USC is great, and they drop down. Bethel, I really want to play Bethel this year. I got a couple of buddies on that team that I wanted to take a crack at. But, I mean, yeah, just honestly, just playing those teams, it's just fun. It just makes the game more fun, and I'd be all for that.
See, when you're in your psychology class at Miami University and you're, you know, bored to tears and, you know, you start jotting down some possibilities of what would work in the WPL. Send it to me and we'll see what we can do.
I'll do that right after I get off.
I mentioned Miami, early commitment to play mm-hmm. for the Hurricanes. What is drawing you to South Beach?
You said it, South Beach. I mean, there's no other place I would rather be. It's honestly, it speaks for itself. It's just Miami. Like, I mean, where else would you want to be? It's fantastic. I love it down there. I love the coaching staff, everything about it. I just love it. I've always loved it. You know, growing up as a kid, my dad and I always talk about it, how great it is, like the old like 80s and 90s football team and stuff. It's just, I love it down there. There's no other place I'd rather be.
Yep. Excellent. Well, we wish you well, but we're not sending you off yet. You still have another year to wreak havoc on the WPIL. Plus, now you get to go for another shot at a state championship, which has eluded this program. What's the mindset of the team? At what point do you stop celebrating and start preparing for the first round of the PIAA postseason?
I feel like it's, you just got to flip the switch. You know, we had our little fun last night. But at this point, it's looking forward. Let's get another one. Let's flip the switch. We got practice tomorrow. We were off today, got a little breather. And I feel like we just got to flip the switch and go for the bigger one. You know, Whippio's great. Don't get me wrong. Especially like anybody who's from Western Pennsylvania, sure. Just how big the Whippio is. But state championship always just feels that much better, you know? So it's just one of those things where you just got to flip the switch and get on with it.
Being the best in Southwestern Pennsylvania is special. Being the best in the state of Pennsylvania is even better, right?
Exactly.
No doubt. So do you have any superstitions, whether it's when you're pitching or whether you're just playing, any superstitions for you, young man?
So I really want to give you something. Like, I've always tried to come up with something like that. Like, I know some, I've heard of some people, they put like a dollar in their shoe, or I don't know, they got like a lucky penny, or I don't know, but like, I wish I had something like that. I
never got nothing.
I never really did. I always just put my uniform on and go play. I've always wanted something cool like that, so I could tell people that. Like, I'll talk to some people, they'll be like, yeah, I got $5 in my shoes. The same $5 bill I've had since I've been 8. And I'm like, all right, well, I want something like that. But
you probably tried that, but knowing you as little as I do, but you probably then before the game went out and bought a snow cone and it was gone.
Yeah. But I mean, I've been looking for, like, now that you say that, I mean, I'm going to look for something around here. Maybe I'll, I don't know.
Do you have the gold medal within reach?
You know, I do. I can grab it on my room.
I don't want you to, you'll go grab it and get injured or something. Then Pat will be on me. So we don't want that. So what do you like to do away from baseball?
Let's see. I'm
stumping you with these questions, and I apologize.
No, I like them. Get me thinking here. And it's not that hard of a question, because it's just like, what do? You know, so I'm always trying, like, hanging out with my friends and stuff. That's kind of a generic teenage answer, but I like hanging out with my friends. I like to go fishing, but I broke my rod, so I can't go fishing. I'll have to borrow somebody's next time.
How much does a new rod cost?
Now it's ridiculous. If you want like an actual rod, it's don't even worry about it. It's just like depressing. But I like to go. I like to fish. I like to, I used to really like to ride my bike. I don't know what happened to that. I just never, like, I got my license. That's actually what happened to that.
Oh, there you go.
I don't ride my bike anymore.
The bike is like a forgotten friend.
Yeah, it really is. I saw it on my driveway the other day, and I'm like, I don't ride that anymore. And actually, I like playing basketball, too. I love playing basketball. I was thinking about trying out, but I don't know if that would go too well. I'm more of a street ball guy. I'd probably foul out of every game.
Coach David would love you. I know that.
I hope so.
So when you said you hang out with your friends. What do you guys do?
You know, it's kind of like nobody ever knows what to do. And it's always like somebody will text a group chat or something, will be like, what are we doing tonight? And everybody just won't say anything. And it'll be like, I don't know, you tell me. So it's always kind of like a last minute thing. Usually end up going to somebody's house and just talking or having a movie. But nowadays, I'm trying to fill up my time. I'm trying to, maybe we'll have a fire or just, like, maybe go out and see a movie, play mini golf. But you do what you can. Maybe one of your friends has a pool and you can go swimming.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Those are the best friends, by the way, when it's 90 degrees out. Those exactly. are the best friends. I can relate to that, because it's sort of like when my kids were still here, we would all say, okay, let's go get something to eat. Okay. And then we just sit around. It was like, okay, where should we go? Oh, I don't care. And then we sit around some more. Next thing you know, it's like 9 o'clock.
Exactly. And I always watch these movies of kids in like the 80s and stuff. And they always look like they had something to do every weekend. They would go to the mall. They would go see a movie. And I'm like, I was born in the wrong time.
Yeah, no, you should have been with us in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
We always had something to do.
Mm-hmm. That's what it sounded like.
It wasn't always above, within the confines of the law, but nonetheless. what about food? What are some of your favorite things to munch on?
So my favorite food, I've come to the conclusion, it's chicken parm. I have chicken parm probably 3 times, 4 times a week, and I'm actually going to eat it after this. I'm going to dinner tonight, and I'm getting chicken parm.
We had, in fact, our player of the week last week was Evan Holowinski of Bethel Park, and he said the chicken parm at Pasta 2.
I've never been to Pasta 2. He's a Bethel guy. Pasta 2 is in Bethel, and I've never been there. But
they allow other people other than Bethel Park kid.
I also heard that, okay. But I've never made it out there, and I hear it's fantastic. But I'm a huge chicken parmigiano. I'm going to El Pizziolo. I don't know if you heard. It's a fantastic Italian restaurant.
Where is it?
We got one uptown by 11 on Washington Road. We got one up there, and then there's one downtown in Station Square.
Okay. Very good. Mm-hmm. Two locations near you. All right.
Yeah. And my friend actually owns it, so I'll get some food for free here and there, so it's kind of nice.
David, thoroughly enjoyed it. I tell you what, we were sort of joking before, but after we've done this podcast, I truly believe you could host your own podcast.
Yeah, I'd love to have it. You know, you could lend this one over to me, and I'll just talk about food the whole time. I could go on for a while about food.
That's all you need. Get a couple of your boys on, you know.
You could talk about food for as long as you want. There's endless possibilities.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's mm-hmm. no doubt. David, appreciate it, my friend. Congratulations on making history. Good luck. Get it done in the state playoffs.
Appreciate it. Will do.
All right, Dave. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
David Shields of the Mountain Blue Devils. What a treat that young man is. The future is extremely bright, not only from an athletic standpoint. Good, fun guy. Wow. No hitter. Let's give you the final numbers, by the way. Just so impressive what he was able to do against one of the great lineups in the district in North Allegheny. Seven innings, obviously, no runs, no hits. The one questionable hit was an error charged to Brett Hamill. Only one walk, nine strikeouts. Lights out performance. Congratulations to him. The final score, by the way, in that game, that sort of gets lost in the shuffle, 4-0. Blue Devils scoring 3 runs in the second, 1 in the fourth. And then sort of after that, it all focused on him and everybody in the stands, whether they were wearing blue and gold or black and gold, just as, you know, wondering if he could make history. And he did with the no-hitter to win the 5A championship or 6A championship. My apologies. Leads me to 5A, where Miguel Hugues was just as good, not no hit good, but just as good in the big showdown, 1-2, Shaler against Bethel Park. Shaler wins their second title in 4 years, 2019. They also won district gold, 10-1 the final score. This much anticipated, huge crowd at Wild Things Park for this one. But Bethel defense was a little bit of a letdown. I think they had 3 errors, led to, I want to say, 6 of the 10 runs Shaler scored were unearned. But very impressive performance by Miguel and company as the Titans win by a score of 10-1. Miguel's numbers, 7 innings, 1 run, only 5 hits, a walk, and 8 strikeouts as he outduels Evan Hulawinski. Evan, our player of the week last week, 4 innings. He gave up 7 runs, but only 1 run was earned. Walk 2, and only 2 strikeouts. That's a testament to that Shaler Titans lineup. It's really impressive considering Shaler has lost 3 starters to injuries over the course of the season, Brady McGuire being the latest one a few weeks ago. But they've overcome all that. They are now WPIAL champions. Bethel Park, the 2 seed, headed to the state playoffs. They've been down this road before, right? 2 years ago, they lost to Franklin Regional in heartbreak fashion in the WPIAL finals. Last year, they lost in the semifinals, had to win the consolation game to get into the PIAAs, and they have won back-to-back state playoffs. So, the Hawks might have everybody right where they want them as the number 2 seed from the WPIAL. Number 3 seed will be the Penn Trafford Warriors, 3-1 winners over the Plum Mustangs, ending Plum season. Penn Trafford headed to the PIAA postseason on Monday. Finally, in Class 4A, the championship goes to Hopewell. The 14th seed one of the great stories of this 2023 spring. Hopewell knocks off Latrobe by a score of 4-3. Wildcats struck first, 2 in the first. Vikings bounce back with 3 runs in the second inning, add another run in the fourth, and then hold on for the victory. Landon Fox has been tremendous in the postseason. 7 innings, 3 runs all earned, 7 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts to pick up the victory for the Vikings. Greg Barleone had 2 hits for Hopewell. Landon Fox, 2 hits as well to help his own cause. Hopewell, the number one team out of the WPIAL, Latrobe, the number two team. And the number three team is Montour, the Spartans, knocking off Indiana 8-6. Both teams headed to the PIAA playoffs. Montour a 3, Indiana a 4. Monday begins the PIAA postseason. Follow up. We won't have the broadcast. We don't have the rights to the PIAA playoffs. There might be some affiliate streaming of games, so check out our website. But even games that aren't being broadcast, we'll have recaps of tribhssn.triblive.com. Thanks to a very impressive and funny young man, David Shields, of Mount Lebanon, our player of the week. Thanks to our producer, Chris Lackner, as well. I'm Don Rebel. It's all about the gold, the WPIAL championships. We hope you enjoyed our coverage right here on the Trib Live High School Sports Network.